This is America Weekend, a new kind of radio, because life doesn't stop on the weekends. Hello, I am Paul Harris. There's been a lot of talk about healthcare.gov, the website for Obamacare that went online on October 1st, and every day there are reports that not enough people can get on it, not enough people can get through it, not enough people have been signing up because of it. What's the problem? Not just with healthcare.gov, but with government tech in general. Well, let's ask a guy who worked inside the government and now works outside of it as a contractor, helping to write some of the software for some of the things that government needs. His company is called the Department of Better Technology. His name is Clay Johnson. Clay, welcome to America Weekend.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You wrote in a recent op-ed that this is only the latest episode in a string of information technology debacles by the federal government. Give me a couple of other examples, if you would, that would have given us a clue that healthcare.gov might not work before it even started.
Well, I'll point out first that the Standings Group earlier this week released a report that said, well, I guess it's Sunday now, so it's last week, released a report that said that they took 50,000 federal IT projects over the past 10 years that were greater than $10 million. And they found that 94% of them had significant problems in one way, shape, or form, and about half of them failed altogether. And that to me is indicative of that. But you know, anybody that's been paying attention to this for a while can see the repetition before their very eyes. There's SAM.gov, the System for Award Management, which is sort of the central back office website for the way that government issues contracts, and it launched last year, cost $181 million, and it broke at the end of the fiscal year and sort of ground the gears of contracting to a halt inside of the – I mean, I would imagine that that website breaking down was about as effective as a government shutdown in terms of how money is being spent in Washington.
Wow.
The USAjobs.gov cost $3 million, which is a pittance for the federal government to spend, but is a significant amount of money for – you know, the private sector, and it really didn't work in the months that followed its release. The FBI had a case file system that lasted about 10 years. I mean, I could go on. Our whole interview, I could spend the next day just rattling off billions of dollars worth of IT project problems.
Explain to me why can't the government get this right?
Well, you know, any good project needs three things, and this isn't limited to technology. Any good project needs three things. It needs time, it needs money, and it needs talent. And so the government had plenty of time. They had 3 years, and they had plenty of money because they make it. So it must have been talent, right? What's happened here is that we have a procurement process. The way that the federal government hires people and contractors doesn't work very well with technology, and especially contractors. What's happened is there's about 1,800 pages in the Federal Acquisition Regulation, the regulations that govern how the government can hire consultants and contractors. And the result of that, at least in technology, is that contracts go to the people that have the best lawyers, not the people who have the best programmers.
Okay, so this is all so frustrating. I'm sure for a tech guy like you, it's even more frustrating because you hear about these things. But tell me how the procurement process is getting it wrong. I'm really trying to understand why they do it this way. Because the private sector, if it were to do it this way, people would be getting fired. And I'm not saying that any one particular person should be fired, but I'm seeing a system that hasn't worked multiple times, and yet they keep going back to it. Explain that to me, Clay.
Well, I would point out that the private sector has its share of information technology disasters too. They're just not in the public spotlight. But there's a model called, you know, enterprise development that large corporations, you know, the Fortune 500, the Fortune 50, use in order to develop software that the rest of the technology sector doesn't, and that. That method of developing software has basically become so into risk aversion that it actually sort of makes itself fail by trying to, you know, mitigate every risk up front rather than, you know, being a little bit more agile and sort of developing a little bit, seeing what people think about that. Like, you know, Google does this all the time, or Facebook. They'll make a little new feature, see what people think about that, and then respond to how users react to that, and then and keep going. Whereas the government doesn't do that. And that's, I think, in part because of our procurement policy and also because of our hiring policy, that we don't have the right kind of managers in place inside of government to do that stuff. In terms of your specific question about what's wrong with procurement itself, the issue is that regulations are hard to pass, and they're even harder to remove. So the regulation is just old and stale. If you take a look at the Federal Acquisition Regulation, for instance, it makes vendors certify that all of their IT systems are Y2K compliant. It's been 13 years since Y2K. It seems to me like these are some laws that maybe we could revisit and take off of the books because we don't need them anymore.
Yeah, but and of course, the people, like that, the people who make the laws, of course, like the ones who held the hearings the other day, they don't know what they're talking about when it comes to technology. I barely know what I'm talking about. You're an expert in this sort of stuff. Why aren't more experts involved in this? Why, you know, Obama said he's going to have a surge of the best tech people he can have come in and fix this thing. Why weren't they involved at the beginning?
That's a great question. You know, part of the problem is Congress. In 1996, during the Republican Revolution, I think Congress, in an effort to save the taxpayer money, really accidentally lobotomized itself. There used to be something called the Technology Assessment Office inside of Congress, and their job was to advise, they were technical experts who advised Congress on technical issues. But those people aren't there anymore. And so when Congress is making up policies, no one ever talks about how at Thanksgiving their grandfather is going to come over and fix their grandkid's computer. It's the other way around, right?
Yep, right.
And right now we've, you know, assigned we've assigned Congress, who is effectively our grandfather, to try and fix the computer, and it's not going to work out. It's like that. Watching the hearings was like watching a 1-year-old argue with my cat.
Well, here's the bottom line now. They say that they're going to fix it by the end of November. Can they do it that quickly, and how hard is that?
I'm actually an optimist. I think they're going to fix it sooner. I think that it'll be working for most of the people sooner than they expect. I think I'm doing a rotten job of managing their expectations, but I think they've got it under control, mainly because I see good people now flocking to the issue. People like Jeff Zients and Todd Park are really, you know, rolling up their sleeves and getting to work. They've been assigned to this. The CTO of the United States is getting involved. And these are good, smart people who know what they're doing. They're accomplished entrepreneurs who have worked on systems like this in the past, and I have a lot of faith in them.
Yeah, good, smart people, getting them involved. That's a crazy idea, and Congress will never go for that.
Right.
Another question I've got to ask you. When I was in high school a long time ago, we programmed in Fortran on punch cards. That's how long ago it was. But the more cards you had, the cooler your program seemed. And last week there was a report that healthcare.gov takes 500,000 lines of code, or 500 million lines, some huge number of code lines. Does that matter to programmers now?
No, it's sort of like how big your it's measuring the wrong thing. You want for the amount of code that's running in your software to be as small as possible. It's sort of like bragging about how few miles per gallon your car gets. The efficiency of software is based upon how few characters it takes to write a particular function. And in this case, yeah, this argument of millions of lines of code is just preposterous. It's a very old way of thinking things. And it's, as a technologist, it's sort of like, you know, it's very hard to hear those kinds of metrics start.
I've only got 30 seconds here, Clay. Why didn't you bid on this contract?
It was too complicated, and it was too hard. And frankly, we weren't in business when it was time to bid. But it, you know, with a failure rate of this and with the barriers to entry as high as they are, there's no way we could have to begin with, and we wouldn't have won.
Well, if it was too complicated for you, I can always have Grandpa come over and explain it to you.
Right. Well, that's what we're doing.
He's in the House of Representatives right now.
Right.
Clay Johnson from the Department of Better Technology, online at dobt.co. Thanks for joining me here today.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
I'm Paul Harris. This show is on the air every Saturday and Sunday. It's called America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks. America.